Welcome to the Northern Business Podcast, a regular discussion with people who lead businesses, employ people, and have new ideas to help our economy grow. The Northern Business Podcast is produced by Recognition PR, which serves businesses in different sectors across the country, some of which occasionally contribute. We're proud to be sponsored by Virtue Motors, one of the top automotive retailers in the UK, with a network of dealerships representing some of the world's most popular brands. I'm Graham Robb, and on this edition of the podcast, we're going to ask how to start, grow and finance a business in Starmer's Britain. We have specialist business finance person, Sophie Dale Black, who's a former director for the North at the British Business Bank. We also have Lee Garland, who leads for franchise development at the Sunderland-based Pacifica Group. Pacifica Local is the franchise. And later in the podcast, we talk to one of the UK's most prolific business coaches, Adam Stott. So let's start with Sophie and Lee. Welcome to the Northern Business Podcast. Sophie, I'm going to start with you because you have an holistic set of skills when it comes to raising finance for business and advising business. You do it through the portfolio house, your own business. In Starmer's Britain, can a small business raise money?
They can. They do need to be realistic that it isn't easy to raise money, but there are options out there. And one of the biggest challenges that businesses face is knowing what is out there. The options are multiple. Do they want a grant? Do they want to take a loan out? Do they want to sell shares and take equity investment? It also depends how old the business is. Are they brand new and may not have the finance records behind them? But being new opens up other options. Are they more advanced and they have the financial forecast forward and backward looking? But it is really down to expressing how well your business is doing and what it's doing and why somebody would want to share their money with it or lend you the money.
And before we dive into all of that, because I think this is the practical advice and the realistic advice, let's just be honest about the ecosystem that we're operating in as businesses. I run a business and I have noticed my debtor days going up. I've noticed that some of the clients I have, which are pretty mature businesses in some respects, some, not all, of the clients I have had difficulty raising finance. I was dealing with a client that's got a property investment, and that property investment is now on stall because people are not investing in property. I've been dealing with clients who have regular businesses who are laying people off because of all sorts of external influences, minimum wage going up by more than they planned, business tax being higher than they planned, and some are a bit anxious about the forthcoming employment rights bill. So this is the ecosystem we're operating in. Is it having an effect on people's willingness to put money into business?
I would say yes. So there are options still available, but there are definitely, for example, angel investors, that the people like people, normal people who use the tax incentive schemes to put money into businesses at that 50,000 level, 100,000 level, and a smaller share of that. Definitely that they are holding back more than in the past. The challenge is you want your money immediately accessible in today's climate. Mm. But I think the intro rates are still challenging for some businesses, so they perhaps aren't able to access the loan interest rate they would prefer, but there are more options available than there ever were in that regard, but the interest rate will be a little bit higher. I think the joy is, you know, I was at the British Business Bank in the past, so to mention their programs, the money is there. You know, that's UK government money that's been put into the northern regions and other UK regions for the benefit of making sure this money flows. But your point on cash flow, of making sure that businesses are not paying late, it is a huge issue. Cash flow is crucial to make sure that businesses can afford to pay each other. But customers have their own issues at the moment of whether they can afford products. So we see a whole manner of reasons why it's challenging. But I agree, the money is there, but it can be more difficult to find it right now.
And I think the discretionary spend in the economy is slightly constrained because of unemployment. People who are fearing potentially being unemployed are building their savings up rather than spending in the economy in order to provide a sort of softer landing if they do lose their job. Now, that's all the negative stuff. Let's get into the more positive stuff. People who have solutions. Now, let's bring in Lee. Now, you have a solution. You've got a business that has been going for a long time and is now offering itself to people on a fractional basis through franchising. Tell us about the business first and about the franchise offer.
So as I've previously said, so Pacifica Group has been founded since 2003. We actually started off as a franchise model. So we're very, very familiar of how the model works. We did move into to the B2B business sector with national brands such as Electrolux, LG, and we took a path that way. In 2025, we decided to get back into franchising for a couple of reasons and that we saw. We wanted to get back down to the grassroots locally, where we've got the national backing of Pacifica, standard structure, IT technology, with that local individual that the customers want. They want that local feel. And this is where we've created this concept of Pacifica Local, where basically we try to take all of these enablers out of the equation. So the part that you mentioned around the financial, the cash flow, really, really pivotal parts of any business, especially in the early years, where the actual entry fee to become a franchise partner with Pacifica is £15,000. We also do everything we can to try to take any of them roadblocks down. So we also have schemes where we offer finance. We set up prospectus for them, roadmaps. We've got all of the franchise partners we've currently got there as collateral that we use to be able to go to banks to basically say this is a proven and tested model backed by Pacifica Appliance Services, which makes that entry part a lot easier.
Let's explain as well, Lee, what you're after, what the customer will receive. What is the franchise about? It's repairing things, isn't it?
It is. It's repairing anything in the kitchens, from washing machines to dishwashers, refrigeration units, anything, the day-to-day use items that we all take for granted, which then moves on to the actual sustainability part, and everyone's pockets are getting a little bit more tight. So this exactly fits into our model from that, not only from an environment perspective, but also from a cash-saving perspective. Appliances are very, very expensive now, as we know. An integrated appliance could be anything from £6,000 to £1,200, depending on the brand. And what Pacifica Local do is we offer a sustainable solution, which benefits the local franchise partner, but also the end consumer. And that wraps in together, where we're almost providing a bit of a hybrid best of both approach, where they're getting all of that national quality and structure and systems and health and safety, but you're still retaining that local personal touch from that local engineer, one of your own in your area, which I think is a first of its kind. And we have seen a gap in the market for that, and we are going to strength and strength with them.
Now, full disclosure, I actually used this service a few months ago. I had a washing machine that broke, and washing machines are quite expensive, about £450 for a new washing machine. And so phoned them up. They come out. It wasn't hugely cheap, but it was less than £450. Washing machine fixed. No need to have someone take the old washing machine away and stick it in landfill or whatever they do. And my washing machine's fixed. Now, that customer journey from me making the phone call to the person turning up to repair the washing machine has involved a lot of work on your part. Talk us through the customer journey and what you needed to help that franchisee do in order to service my washing machine and fix it.
So first and foremost, it starts with the training they receive from us on the front end. So we have our own training academy, which is City and Guilds accredited. We've done this model for years now. It's a very, very proven model. We've got a modularized system that works to make sure that they have all the right skills to be able to serve as a customer end to end. And then that's wrapped into our, again, bespoke technology, which is our CRM system, which allows you to book customers, track the journey, all the things that we take for granted, booking appointments, online booking, text messages before you arrive, to make sure that we provide that optimum service, which is, again,
about my washing machine. And as a result, the man had the right part.
which was amazing. Yep. I thought you didn't have to come out, diagnose it, and then go away again.
Absolutely, and that's another part of again, all wrapped into our CRM, where we will take that initial call. We'll then try to triage what's wrong with the product, and the best possible outcome is we go to the property and we fix the appliance on the first visit. So again, getting out within on the day in some cases, but the next day, everyone leaves very busy lives, and if you can do it on the first visit, then that's the best possible customer journey from our point of view. And this is what we endeavor to do, and this is why the local element is really important, because it's very dynamic and they're able to do things a lot quicker than a business which, unfortunately, once gets to a certain size, it has a slightly smaller rudder when you deal with copious amounts of jobs. But when you're local, you can go out on the day, you can diagnose it and be out the next day. And these are the things that really come into their own when it comes to becoming a Pacifica local partner.
So let's just, before I bring Sophie in and work out how to fund it, let me give you a weird worked out example. Say I'm a student graduate and I've been out of work and I can't get any work, which is one of the most prolific growing parts of the unemployment population. And I've got no skills, but I can drive. How do I learn the skills? How much is it going to cost me? And what kind of money am I going to make?
So the initial buy-in is £15,000. We also have different ways that we can enable someone, the right person, if they see the opportunity, which would be, we would, as said previously, we have got material prospectus where we can help them get funding from their local bank, or it can be from a local business grant if there's a funding issue. And then, provided all goes well from that point of view, we'll then enlist them into our training academy to actually learn the key fundamentals of how to actually repair appliances, which is modularized for about a six-month period. But the good part of that from a cash flow point of view is you're earning on the job. So due to the vast contracts that we have, where we have an existing pipeline of work, they will go and do their training. For argument's sake, it's laundry first, then that's a two-week course. Then on week three, they'll be out with our seasoned engineers. There's a structure in place there where you have regional managers, area service managers, you have franchise managers to support you whilst you're out on the road. You have buddy engineers that we allocate to make sure that they're never left to fend for themselves whilst they're in the learning curve. But equally, more importantly, they're actually earning on the job as well.
Right. So let's now advance it to this young student. They've got the job, they've got the franchise, I mean. They're now on the road with a van. They've had to rent a van. What is the potential for their earning capacity, the low end and the high end? What's the band? In a catchment area, it'll have to be in a catchment area and a small town. What is the size of your catchment areas?
So we have 140 territories that we have, and they vary on affluence. But as a general rule, as a one person operation, you'll be comfortably able to earn between £8,000 and £14,000 in revenue per month.
Right,
that is very, very scalable. That there's people that are happy to operate to that standard. Equally, we also have the facility as a part of our roadmap to have multi-person, multi-van operations, and that could be 10, 20. The limit is that person's individual ambition.
They can buy another franchise and maybe hire someone. Okay, Lee, that's great. Now let's go to Sophie. Now you've heard this scenario. A student, with student debt, of course, unemployed, recent graduate, been on the dole or claiming benefits for several months, can't find a job. This is not a scenario that's uncommon now. They want to go to Lee. They need to find £15,000. And the bank of mum and dad isn't available to provide. And maybe Lee needs to give advice. What advice would you give to that student?
That I agree with you that the family option isn't available for everybody. And that's important to remember. That's why the finance institutions are there to help people. So one suggestion. So this is the kind of thing I do all the time. I listen to the issue and then think about what are the options available. And one option I can think of would be the Startup Loans Program. So that particular program operates around up to 25,000 per, let's say, director or founder of the business. It could be multiple directors or founders, as Lee was saying, you know, the franchise could actually become quite big. And the interest rates are, you know, some of the lowest on the market for them. They're 6% fixed interest. What's great about those is you get the help, you know, you get help around the money as well. But focusing in on the money itself, most people take kind of an average of £10,000 from those particular loans. So 15 is in that ballpark, 15,000. For me, it's about being able to, I call it servicing the loan. Can you commit to the repayments? Does the business plan, and you need a business plan, that could be a spreadsheet with kind of what the growth trajectory, the growth aspiration is. Can you repay the money within the timescale that the loan provider requires? And then you're fine. Then you move forward and hopefully you're given the loan. If you're not, there are other providers available. Your local bank, Lee said local bank, I always say try your bank first. Often that's the best interest rate you're going to get. But for the startup loan, if the business is less than 3 years old, which, you know, in the case here, brand new franchise opportunity, there's a clear business model here for how to scale it. Mm. That scalability, that growth, it's aspiration-based. You know, how big do you want your business to be? And that growth aspiration shows that you should be able to repay the loan.
Okay, now, Sophie, I'm going to give you another scenario. I know these are all hypotheticals, and I love you coming on because most professional people say, oh, it's all hypothetical, I'm not going to answer it. You're playing the game, and it's all helping our audience to understand. So let's say this student's doing very well. They're now no longer just a graduate. They now own their own business, and they're doing well. They are actually earning £72,000 a year income from servicing people's washing machines, people like me, people like you. And it's going quite well. And they think, well, I want to grow. I actually want to be in business. And that fella Lee's got another three franchises to sell. I need £45,000. I can buy them. I can hire someone to be in the van. And he needs £45,000. Now, what do you say to him or her about how they raise the £45,000?
Absolutely. So I should say with this scenario, it's a student. So we need to respect they may have student loans that need to repay as well.
Grand, you see, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, that's important to remember. It will be taken into account within the discussions. Your scenario here, I think, is really interesting. And it's often the kind of slightly later for this style of business, the slightly later conversation of, I really want to buy a truck. I want to buy a new van. I want to be on the road. And you need a large amount of money. Now, of course, you could use contract hire, contract purchase. So those finance options are available. They're essentially loans when you think about it. The other option that would be available then would be, obviously, grants at that size are difficult to secure. That's quite a large grant. I would say probably it's around thinking about having selling your shares to somebody, some of the shares. So that would be an equity investment process. So you would value your business and you would say, actually, I would like to, you know, £45,000 is about 20% of my business today in valuation. And then you would find somebody who is willing to invest that money to allow you to do the things that you want to do with that money, buy the vehicle, do some marketing, get on social media, get out there selling what you do, but then also grow, because that person's going to want their money back at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. But they stay with you. They want their multiple, as it's known. They're thinking, I might get twice my money. I might get three times my money. If you're a technology business, it could be 10, 20 times their money, which is obviously a lot more than interest rates if you put your money into savings. So it's people who have that kind of risk appetite, and it's not for everybody. Not everybody has that kind of money, but the people that want to do it, that risk appetite, I think, is really interesting. So that would be an equity investment, perhaps for an angel investor, mm-hmm. someone who could look just like all of us, but has that little bit of available wealth to then invest into opportunities. But, you know, for example, in the north of England, there's a new northeast angel group called Unity Angels. you could go and pitch to them to see if they're interested in the opportunity. But it could be an individual that you happen to meet, or they tend to advertise themselves on LinkedIn a little bit as investors. So there's ways of finding these people.
Well, listen, Lee, before I leave and go on to the next interview, can I just ask, our franchise, do you allow silent partners to be part of the franchise?
We most certainly do. And as I say, every single franchise partner, as much as we've got a generic model of what we're trying to deliver here, everyone has got different aspirations. And some might be, I would like a very small operation, and that works for them. That might be one, two people, very low maintenance, very low risk. There'd be other people that want to take over regions. And it's our job to facilitate that. And again, the beauty of Pacifica is we have the technology to look. We don't just blindly go into the future. It's a case of, we'll look at what your business is doing. All of our analytical information points towards your growth. And if we believe that it's right, and it's a joint partnership, and we believe that investment is required, we will provide them with that information to be able to go to an investor or various different places. As you say, there's so many different avenues out there. Depending on the size of the investment, and we'll help facilitate that investment with the individual, depending on their aspirations.
Lee, that's great. And it's Pacifica Local. How do they get in touch with you? Have you got a website which is Pacifica Local, or is it LinkedIn? How do they get in touch with you?
Yep. So it's Pacifica Local Franchising, which is something that you can, our website, or you can get hold of myself directly, which is my email, which is lee.garland@pacificod.co.uk.
And Sophie, you're on LinkedIn. You give great advice, and your business is the Portfolio House. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining us in this first section of the podcast. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we're looking at growing business, and I had the chance to interview Adam Stott from the firm Big Business Entrepreneurs. Now, you may see Adam cropping up on various podcasts and media appearances because he's Britain's most prolific business coach. And I asked him how many businesses he's coached in the last 10 years.
So over the course of the last 10 years, we've coached over 100,000 business owners live in person, and many times that online. So we are working with businesses of all different sizes and have been doing so for the last decade.
And you have a program you take them through to help them develop their entrepreneurial skills. Tell us about the different levels of your program.
So there's three levels. There are businesses that are starting, businesses that are growing, and businesses that are scaling. And what we really do with all of these different business owners is we meet them where they're at, the stage they're at, and we nurture them through that stage so they can continue their growth.
Is the age of enterprise still with us? Is there still pent-up enterprise and entrepreneurship in the UK?
People typically listen to their surroundings and the people they're around. And if every single person that they're around, if you take someone and you put them into an environment, because environments matter a lot, and you put someone into an environment where everyone's saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, this is what you're going to be, this is what you're going to do, typically you start to put people in a box. And that same person that had the potential, that did have the enterprise, because they're surrounded by that negativity, can often get stuck. This is why we do what we do. Because we want to put people into an environment where actually anything is possible. You can do more than just pay the bills if you build your skills and you become a business owner. You know, business is not reserved for any type of talent. I have a strong belief that you build the skills. That's where talent comes from. So, yes, I think that in the country at large, there is sometimes negativity towards entrepreneurs and towards business owners that want to be more and become more and do more, for sure. But this is exactly why the message is so important. You know, in the whole, in the media, people that are wealthy for many, many, many years have been, you know, like, if you go all the way back to things like Scrooge McDuck, you know, or you go back to these different things, the billionaire was the bad guy or the nasty person. If you look at every single James Bond film, who's the villain? The billionaire or the rich, but the person that's rich. If you're rich, you're bad. Why? Well, because typically most of the people watching TV are not billionaires, right? Or they're not millionaires. So what we do need to do is we need to get the message across that actually it is positive to be an entrepreneur. You are making an impact. You can be an entrepreneur and be a really good person. You can create something valuable. You can start to share that skill set with the people around you, with families around you, and you can inspire people in your area, and you could be the person to step up and make an impact.
And at your event, you're meeting a lot of famous people who are not necessarily famous for being good business people, but actually are good business people.
Absolutely, they're good business people, but we have people that come to our events that are dragons from Dragon's Den. Last week was Zara Davis, for example, and she was talking about getting her start selling envelope machines, and she was told that she couldn't do it and it wouldn't succeed, but she went out and she wanted to move again. She came from a town in the north where she was told that everyone's going to have to do this job and you can't be successful, but she wanted to make it happen. I was with Davina McCall the week before, like 2-3 weeks before, interviewing her on stage, and she said she got her start by being a mosquito in a dark room. She kept buzzing and she kept bugging until people actually said, all right, I'll give you a shot. So this kind of determination and this kind of drive is what people need to be able to hear to drive themselves forward. That for me is the message that I want to share, that you can make impact. You can have what you want. You don't need to be limited by your environment. You don't need to be limited by what other people say to you. If you want to build an amazing life, business is one way that you can really do that. And yeah, when you talk about the people we have dragons, we have celebrities, we have A-list celebrities. And the thing that is common is they have drive, they have desire, and they up-level their skills.
Well, Adam, I tell you what, as Britain's super business coach, having coached 100,000 people, if every one of those 100,000 people creates just two jobs, you'll be one of Britain's biggest job creators as well. Thank you for joining me.
Pleasure.
Great to talk to Adam and my guests, Sophie and Lee. If you want to join us as a guest on the Northern Business Podcast, feel free to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks to my assistant producer, Fiona Charlton, and our technical operator, Kieran Graham. Join us next time on the Northern Business Podcast.